In October this past year, we began the series of looking at what it means about, we titled the series, The Church Followers of the Way of Jesus. And I'm throwing up an old slide here that we actually shared at the very beginning of this series. And we're working our way through Acts, but we're not studying the book of Acts verse by verse. We're looking at concepts for the church. And we begin with the foundation that there is only one way to God, one way to eternity with God, and that is through Jesus. And if you remember, we talked about in Acts, later on in Acts, it's those who choose to follow Jesus were called followers of the way. It was an identifier. So that's why this series is church, follower, the church, followers of the way. Now, the way, it implies this road and this path that's different from people around us. So the church lives out a life that is different in within our culture. Why? Because we are following Jesus. And the way of Jesus is different from what culture says. Okay? So it's a very simple concept. But I want to just go back to that, because I know it's been a while since we've really, with the holiday over Christmas and different things we've done, we've sort of haven't re-emphasized what this series is all about here. Acts 1:3, the message title this morning is When Jesus Becomes Priority in Our Lives. When Jesus becomes priority in our lives. Acts 1:3, at the very beginning of Acts, we read this. After his suffering, who's suffering? Jesus. He showed himself, who was he? Jesus showed himself to these men. Who's these men? The disciples, okay? And gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and he spoke about the kingdom of God. And so the early church, as we look in Acts and we see this new group of believers begin to develop and organize and begin to function as a church body, the early church was not about promoting a religion that was superior to other religions. It was about promoting a man named Jesus, who proved to them and to the world that he was God. Jesus, this is the foundation of our faith. This is the foundation of our mission, is that Jesus is God. And that through him, we have the promise of eternal life. Now, this morning we're going to look at a story in Acts 9 that is a fairly familiar story. It is very familiar if you are have a history of time in church. It's the story of Saul, a man named Saul in the New Testament. By the way, there's also a King Saul in the Old Testament, different dude, many years in between. Saul, and who later became Paul, who Paul would have written much of what we call the New Testament. And he would have written that, the New Testament, as letters that he wrote to individual church groups in different towns and places. And so this is the beginning of the story of Saul. And we're going to look at this and we're going to see what God wants to speak to us here this morning. Saul was this young man. Last week I briefly mentioned the story of Stephen, and when Stephen was stoned, and you can read about that in Acts 7, I believe it is, 7 and 8. And Stephen was the first disciple or the first martyr, and he died. He was killed. At the hands of the Jewish religious leaders. And again, if you want to read that story, it's in Acts chapter 7. Saul was a young man who would have been there watching and witnessing Stephen being stoned to death. It's a unique culture in that where the early church was happening here, because you have the Roman government allowing the Jewish religion to have their own form of government to the point that they were allowed to have capital punishment and to put people to death for their, what they called heresy to their teachings, to the word. And this is what they accused Stephen of. So it was not a Roman thing. It was the Jewish religious leaders stoning Stephen. Saul was a deeply religious man. He was a man who believed in the Jewish faith. To him, those who believed in Jesus and this new uprising of people, they were going against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which, again, is in the Old Testament. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the forefathers of the Jewish religion. Jesus did not fit into this in Saul's mind. We know now that God used the Jewish nation, the Jewish religion, to bring Jesus into the world. Jesus came out of that. But thankfully, it's not just for the Jew. It's for the Jew and the Gentile. It's for everyone. Amen? Saul went to the religious leaders, and he got himself a signed warrant, signed paperwork, to take to other towns. And in his zealousness, he was going to capture Jesus' followers. He was going to do it in the name of God, the name of his faith. And he was going to do it because he did not believe in who Jesus was or is. Let's pick up the story as Saul is traveling to the town of Damascus from Jerusalem. Acts chapter 9, verse 3. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And I put those letters in red. I hope you can read them. I'm sorry, that was maybe a mistake. But I put them in red because in many Bibles, the words of Jesus are in red. And it's not something that was in the original text. It's something to help us understand the Scriptures. And so these words are in red because these are the words of Jesus. This was Jesus who appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus. I want to talk just a little bit that Saul was a religious guy. He was someone who had his heart turned to God. He wanted to please God. But he had a misdirected faith. And let's just look at this a little bit, because this is so prevalent in today's world and in the church today. We have people who want to do what is right in the eyes of God, but our faith can be misdirected. I think I have a slide here that brings out these points that I'm going to go over here. His faith was misdirected because he was missing the key ingredient. What's the key ingredient of our faith? Jesus. Saul was missing this. By the way, if I say Paul and Saul, I'm going to interchange the name because I get caught up in this thing. Saul became Paul. So if I say Paul, I mean Saul. You get what I'm saying? So we can fall into the same issue here in our faith. Where our faith becomes misdirected, where we say we believe in God, but we really miss who Jesus is. How many of you know people that say, "Oh, I believe in God"? There's a lot of that. I believe in God. But do people really know who Jesus is? Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anyone who comes to the Father must come through me. Jesus is the way. Misdirected faith. When we make our faith just about obedience to the Scriptures versus what Jesus did. This one I know, I'm maybe splitting a hair here, but it is so easy to get caught up and say, well, if I do everything the Scriptures tell us to do, we miss Jesus. No. Well, I'll come back to that. When our faith is about belonging to a church and the relationships that we have there and the carrying meals and all this stuff, and it replaces a desire to follow Jesus, it's misdirected faith. When our faith is about doing good things, serving the church, helping the poor, caring for people, whatever it may be, going to Nicaragua on a mission trip, when it's not done in the name of Jesus, it's misdirected. We're missing. Numerous times, Jesus instructed his disciples to do things in the name of Jesus, in my name. Jesus said, go and do this in my name. And these are just several examples that I'm throwing up here of good things that Jesus' followers do, but they don't replace Jesus. We do these things in the name of Jesus because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Jesus is the one who compels us to action. He is the reason that the truth of the Bible is important. He is the reason that we link up with the church and we form relationships with other believers and we link arms with them, walking down the journey of being a Jesus follower, following the way. He is the reason we do good things. And I challenge those of you who are, you may not be, many of them aren't in here, but those who are going to Nicaragua, go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus because of Jesus. All right, let's go back to the story of Saul. So Saul was traveling along and the light struck down Saul. The men who were traveling with Saul, they were speechless. They heard the sound. They couldn't see any of them. They couldn't see. They didn't have the full experience of what Saul was experiencing. However, Saul was now blind. They helped him up. They led him on to the town of Damascus, where for 3 days he sat there blind, not eating or drinking anything. Saul, you gotta imagine a little bit. Saul was a go-getter. This dude was, he was on a mission. And he was a leader. He had recruited people to go with him. He was out front saying, these Jesus followers have got to be stopped. And he went. And God brought him down. Jesus brought him down to his lowest point. Saul was knocked down to his lowest state. He was there blind and helpless. But thankfully, Jesus wasn't done speaking. I almost titled this message when something about Jesus speaking to two different men. Because the second one is right here. There was a disciple of Jesus named Ananias. And Jesus was calling on his disciple Ananias to disciple Paul. I'm going to repeat that. Catch what I'm saying. Jesus was calling on his disciple Ananias to disciple Paul. Here it is. Look at verse 11. The Lord told Ananias, go to the house of Judas, not Judas Iscariot. This is Judas, by the way, is a very common name in the Bible. Okay? Judas, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. I wonder if they had a Crooked Street. Do you ever think about that? Is it the name of a street here? Straight Street. And ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. Got that? Saul was knocked down, blind, not eating, but yet his heart, I can imagine him saying, Lord, what's going on here? God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, what is going on? What happened here? What does this mean? And he told Ananias, he said, there's a man there that's praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias. And you see what's happening here? God was speaking to Saul while he was praying and telling him that there's a man named Ananias going to come. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Now, Ananias rightfully argues with Jesus. And I say rightfully because I would have too. Ananias told Jesus, this man that you want me to go to is out to kill your disciples. He has orders from the Jewish leaders to take them back, to be tried, to be punished, because they're your followers, Jesus. Why do you want me to go to this man Saul? And he argued. The Lord said to, verse 15, but the Lord said to Ananias, go! Exclamation point. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. Aren't you grateful that God calls people? So cool. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Notice that the Cadillac didn't come with Saul's calling. Ananias obeyed Jesus. He went to the house and he found Saul sitting there blind. And this is the story, verse 17. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul. Now, I don't know what those two words mean to you, but they're loaded. Brother Saul. I'm sorry, you don't call somebody brother who's out to kill you. Ananias, through the power of the revelation of Jesus, had a change of heart. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. What was the priority? Look at this text. What was the priority of Ananias' message? You see it? What was the focus? Jesus. Jesus was the focus. Jesus was the focus. What was the response of Saul? He what? He believed. And he got up and was baptized. That is what? One word. Faith. Obedience. Obedience. You got that? Obedience is an act of baptism, by the way. Baptism is an act of obedience. I said that backwards. You guys, no one even caught that. Baptism is an act of obedience. He did this and he said, listen, I'm gonna obey. I'm gonna do what Jesus wants me, what is asking me to do. And he responded in obedience. What changed Saul's life here? Jesus did. And what was Ananias? What did he want to see happen in Paul's life? Believe in Jesus and what else? Filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to just say this. Jesus and the Holy Spirit go hand in hand. When Jesus is our priority, the Holy Spirit is free to work and move in our life. Jesus is the one who sent the Holy Spirit down to us to fill us. As Jesus followers, followers of the way, we are called to live by the Spirit. And this is only possible when Jesus is the priority of our faith. Saul's priority changed from being from a religion, the Jewish religion, to Jesus, a man who was God. The story continues with Saul that he was being discipled by his disciples. He began to teach. He was a gifted teacher. And he began to teach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. The people, they were confused in Damascus there. They said, isn't this the man that was coming out to persecute us? Why is he now in the synagogues teaching about Jesus? Verse 22 says that Saul grew more and more powerful. He was more baffled, and he baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. I want us to catch here this morning as we get to the last two things here that I want us to leave with this morning, is that Jesus' disciples discipled others. Jesus' disciples disciple others. Ananias, he was a disciple of Jesus, and he obeyed Jesus, and Saul believed. What about if Ananias would have said, no way, Jesus? You see, the work of Jesus, and we're gonna get into this more, but once right now, you guys are all been sitting there a while, and I'm just getting into something I really need you guys to grasp, and it's difficult. We're gonna have to get your brain around it. The work of Jesus is dependent on his disciples acting in obedience to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. The work of Jesus on this earth is dependent on his disciples acting in obedience to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. As Jesus followers, we are called to do the work of Jesus. Jesus modeled this when he was on this earth, and this is what he taught his followers to do. I love these words, this verses in Matthew 9, 35 to 37. This is what Jesus did. Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, you got to get what Jesus was doing. He was going out teaching people about the kingdom of God, bringing the power of heaven down to this earth. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. And that because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I don't know if you get that picture. We're not shepherds around here, but when sheep are being chased by a wolf and harassed with no one there to protect them, that's what Jesus saw. He saw people that were harassed and helpless. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. How many of you know people that are being harassed by life? The workers are few. The workers are few. The disciples didn't one and done, Saul. They didn't say, okay, you're healed now, you're on your own, Saul, or you know who Jesus is, you're on your own. They invested in Saul's life. We get the picture in Scripture that they spent time with him to further explain to him about Jesus. Why? Because their priority was Jesus. They believed in the message of Jesus. You know, it wasn't the disciples that changed Saul's life. It was Jesus that changed Saul's life. You and I are not responsible to change people's lives. You and I are responsible to bring Jesus to people, to be Jesus to people, and to show people, to model what it is to have Jesus as the priority in our life. Last week, Paul and Lori shared their testimony, their story up here. Lori mentioned specifically that as she sat under Matt's teaching in the Creation of Christ class, that God opened her eyes to new truth that changed her life. I'm paraphrasing her words here. Matt's a good guy. But he's not perfect. But Matt was just simply being someone. He was prioritizing Jesus in his life. And he was investing his time in teaching. It was the Spirit of Jesus who opened Lori's eyes to the truth of the Scripture. But the question is, if Matt would not have committed his time to invest in teaching, would the Spirit of Jesus have opened Lori's eyes? You understand what I'm saying? Now, I believe that God works in various ways, but the work of Jesus is carried out by followers of Jesus on this earth. Okay? I'm just using that as a simple illustration. Take it no further than that. I want to take this one step forward. And I'm going to jump forward in the life of Saul. Saul, his name was changed to Paul. And as I said, he wrote many letters to the churches. And remember, it was Jesus who asked Saul, "Why do you persecute me?" Jesus asked him that on the road to Damascus. And Saul realized who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God, and the difference between the old Saul and the new Saul, who now became Paul, is that Saul met Jesus. He now understood the priority of his faith. I want you to stop just for a minute. Look at yourselves. Evaluate what you believe. What do you believe about church? What do you believe about the Bible? What do you believe? And ask yourself, is Jesus my priority? Or is it tied to a Bible doctrine? Is it tied to a certain denomination? Is it tied to a certain way of doing church? Is it tied to the way you've been treated in church? I challenge us this morning, and I believe this is what God wants us to see and to hear this morning, is that let's cut through all of that and lay all of that to the side, and let's make Jesus our priority. Because we do church, we follow the way because of Jesus. Years later, Paul writes to the church in a town called Ephesus. In the New Testament, it's what we call the book of Ephesians. It's written to the church in Ephesus. And in Ephesians 1, the first in his opening part of this letter, this is what Paul writes to the church. And I just see I made a mistake here on the slide. Go to Ephesians 1 on the slide. There we go. Yes, I do have it in the right translation. Here we go. This is what Paul writes. Now understand that he's writing to a church, people, followers of Jesus. "I want you to know about the great and mighty power that God has for us followers. It is the same wonderful power he used when he raised Christ from death and let him sit at the right side, at his right side in heaven." Where's Jesus today? The right hand of the Father. That's where he's at. Okay? "There," verse 21, "there Christ rules over all forces, authorities, powers and rulers. He rules over all beings in this world and will rule in the future world as well. Now, I'm going to tell you, I spent several days over this week reading and rereading this section of scripture because there's so much in here. I'm going to break it down for you in just a second. Verse 22, God has put all things under the power of Christ, and for the good of the church, he has made him the head of everything. Who is him? Jesus. Jesus, the head of everything. The church is Christ's body and is filled with Christ, who completely fills everything. Let me break this down. Go to the next slide, please. When Jesus becomes priority in our lives, this is what Paul is writing. He's saying this, there is power for Jesus followers. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you and I. There is power available for us to live life, to defeat sin, to move forward following the way of Jesus. Now, Jesus is now in heaven, ruling over the world, the physical and the spiritual world. Jesus is in charge. God has placed all things under Jesus' authority. A little bit of theology here, okay? Under Jesus' authority. Jesus is in control. You understand why Jesus needs to be the priority of our faith? Because Jesus is in control. God has placed him in charge. He will rule for eternity. Now, God has given Jesus this power for the benefit of those who are Jesus followers, the church. Are you the church? Are you the church? Followers of Jesus make up the church. The church is Jesus on this earth. Eugene Peterson in The Message translates it this way. It's on the next slide. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Worship team, you can come up, but I don't want you to be distracted, church, by them coming up, because I want you to catch this. The church is Christ's body. You see, when Jesus was on this earth, he walked from town to town. He taught them about the kingdom of God. He walked from town to town and he brought heaven to this earth through miracles and amazing acts of the power of God, the power of the Spirit flowing through him. He brought healing to people. Jesus walked from town to town and he taught. And he healed. He cared for people. Now he's in heaven. And he left us his Spirit. And he's calling you and I, who are saying we're Jesus followers. Yeah, thanks. That was a great timing. Bing, Jesus followers. Any of you who are Jesus followers. And he's saying, I'm calling you to be my body on this earth. I'm calling you to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. I'm calling you. I want you to see when you leave this place and you go to work tomorrow or you go about your everyday weekly duties and you see people that you see it through the eyes of Jesus, and you see people that are harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus is asking us, will you have compassion on them as I did? Will you make me your priority in life? Jesus is saying. And will you be my hands and feet? Will you care about people? You know, I think it's fair we ask the question this morning. What would you like Jesus to do in your world? What would you like Jesus to do in your world? And I'm talking about the little world around yourself, the people you run in contact with, the mountains that we sang about that you face, the waves that are too high, that are overwhelming you. What would you want Jesus to do about them? Jesus is asking his followers to go and do it in his name. To go and be the hands and feet of Jesus. There are many Sauls, S-A-U-L'S, not apostrophe S, just S. There are many Sauls in your world who need an Ananias. To be obedient to the voice of Jesus. There are many Sauls in your world who need an Ananias to be obedient to the voice of Jesus. Jesus isn't asking. He didn't ask Ananias to be perfect. He didn't ask Ananias to change Saul's life. All that he asked Ananias to do is go. There's a man over there on Straight Street who's praying. See, God arranges these things. There's a man over there who's on Straight Street who's praying. Go and do what I tell you. What are we singing? Okay, we're going to sing that. But I'm going to reference another song that we sing here quite a bit. And that is Build Your Kingdom Here. Remember that song? Build Your Kingdom Here. Let the darkness fear. Move through this land by the power of your Spirit. Go for it. We're asking God, come and do it. There's 100 and some people here today. Okay? 100 and some people saying, Jesus, I'm going to go. We move through the land. And the message of Jesus makes an impact. This is church. This is what we're about. I rejoice that we have a building here. I'm grateful, as they said, for the giving that you guys did that is helping us pay down a mortgage and all this stuff that goes with operating a church structure. But it's just a building. It's just a building. The church is you and I stepping out and saying, I'm willing to be an Ananias. Lord, open my eyes, open my heart, open my ears to see the Sauls that are there praying, asking for someone to come and help. Lord, I give you my heart. We're going to sing Stand Together. Father, you've spoken here this morning to my heart. You've made the Scriptures become clear to me, and you've spoken to our hearts here. And now, Lord, give us the courage and boldness to respond to you. May we not take this message, Lord, and just walk out of here and say, well, that was good to hear. But Lord, may we put shoe leather to the words that you have spoken to us this morning. Thank you, Father.